Hi, this is Lori Lewis. Tune into Folk Scene with Roz Larman Sunday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. for the best in traditional and contemporary music. Each week features a live guest segment right here on 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 Santa Barbara, 93.7 San Diego, and 99.5 Ridgecrest, China Lake. Tune in to Folk Scene.
Man, woman, know thyself is a call for us to know ourselves as spiritual beings. Your life and mine are the direct result of what we believe to be true. Mind is the builder. Change your thinking and you'll change your life. And if you keep on thinking the way you're thinking, you'll keep on getting what you're getting.
Tune in to Inner Visions, an African Perspective, where we invite you to join the conversation every Monday at 1 p.m. on KPFK 90.7 FM.
This is KPFK 90.7 FM, radio powered by the people, also heard at 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara and worldwide at kpfk.org. You're listening to Melting Pot here every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. My name is Michael Barnes, and it's been a pleasure to host this show each and every week that we are able to do it, and especially to celebrate 4 years on these KPFK airwaves. And as has been the case in the past, we play all the interviews and performances, the best of all of them, from the past year. This year, doing it a little bit different and playing you almost all of the songs that you heard from all the various interviews and performances we did. And in some cases, as is the case here, being able to kind of give you a peek inside what it was like to actually record the sessions that eventually get edited into the things that you hear on the air. And so this is a performance from Hiatus Coyote. Came into our studios, performed 4 songs, and did it in a way that they'd never done before, a kind of stripped down approach. And so it was a privilege to have them into the studios, and to do it a little differently was even better. So here is Australia's Hiatus Coyote, performances that were recorded live here at KPFK, and I'm playing for you now in celebration of our 4th year on these KPFK airwaves here at Melting Pot.
From my heart. Oh, Momentum is good. So we got two. Mm-hmm. What else is there? Lace Skull and Borderline.
Yeah,
nice. Audio hallucination, I like it. Sorry, I just forgot how to play it. Thank you. sweet. That's pretty.
music from Hiatus Coyote, recorded live here at KPFK just before Halloween of last year on October 29th, and one of their first earliest kind of experiences on U.S. radio, and the first time that they had performed in that stripped-down fashion. You heard three songs that were available on their release, Talk Tomahawk, Mobius Streak, Malika, and Lay Skull, and then a song that, as of yet, is unreleased, unrecorded, Borderline with My Atoms, all recorded live here. And the full interview, again, is available on the website, meltingpotblog.com, as is this last one, our most recent interview that just happened a little while ago with Mr. Bart Davenport. And we'll just go right into this last half hour or so, be taken up by this interview and performance just from April featuring Bart Davenport, and I'll give you it right to him playing your music here on KPFK and Melting Pot in our four-year anniversary show.
One, two, three. Hey, I'm sorry if I go too fast tonight. Let's pretend that this will last. I've got a dream you would like to sleep on too. Oh, I'm sorry to dwell on the past. Better say nothing at all. But I've got this friend who thinks he's in love with you, and it doesn't sum it up to say he's singing the blues. And whoever learned to walk in somebody else's shoes, he's screaming because he found something to lose. Living in Eden where apples are good, but every narrow miracle takes place on earth. Yeah, some militia have arrived and the percussion have come, and they're beating out messages loud on the drum. Have started that we are both young. Lions in my own garden exit someone. That's what a shout when you just stay out of reach. And it doesn't sum it up to say I'm singing the blues. And whoever learned to walk in somebody else's shoes, I'm screaming because I found something to lose. Yeah, it doesn't sum it up to say I'm singing the blues. And whoever learned to walk in somebody else's shoes, I'm screaming because I found something to lose. And I'm beating out messages loud on the drum. Have started that we are both young. Lions in my own garden exit someone. Out to you from all over the world. You wanna go where the traffic moves so slow. Lost in the wilderness of your imagination, looking for a heart that's beating just for you. Hidden away somewhere waiting for you. And just when you find what you've been dreaming of, there will dust in the circuits, dust in the circuits, dust in the circuits of love. Long nights in work mode, mornings in shambles, and ironically a recurring theme connection. Never mind the network, trying to be someone that would appeal to you. Basically, your priority is you. And just when you find what you've been dreaming of, there will be dust in the circuits, dust in the circuits, dust in the circuits of love. Go by with little or no action. Suddenly there's a spark worth a question mark. Dreams are electric, and so is your new lover. For the torn heart, he's a sewing machine. You're still reading every line in between. Just when you found what you were dreaming of, there was dust in the circuits, dust in the circuits, dust in the circuits of love. Dust in the circuits of love, in the circuits of love, in the circuits of love. Dust in the circuits of love, in the circuits of love, in the circuits of love.
So you just heard a couple songs from Bart Davenport, one of his own, and then a cover at the start. What was up with the cover?
Oh, Prefab Sprout.
Uh-huh.
Lions in My Own Garden.
Why'd you choose that song?
I always like to start these kinds of things off with a cover just to kind of get warmed up and to show a little bit of the kinds of songs that I'm influenced by.
Mm-hmm.
So that one there by the Prefabs was definitely an influence on my stuff.
When did you start actually playing music?
I was singing in the school choir at age 9, mm-hmm. 10, and also I was in this strange kind of a Berkeley hippie circus troupe, and so that didn't involve just clown tricks like juggling and riding a unicycle, but it also included some singing. And I started playing guitar when I was about 8 years old, so music I started doing as a child for sure.
Was the circus related to the family? Was it a musical family you grew up in?
Oh, my dad was a bass player.
Okay.
In the 60s and 70s era. And when I was really small, I remembered him having rehearsals and doing gigs and recording sessions and stuff. But he had left music by the time I started in music professionally.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely gave me that. I mean, I'm sure he bought me my first guitar.
At what point do you remember at what point you started actually writing songs?
I think I started trying when I was about 11.
Do you have any of those still?
No. I think I had one about Planet of the Apes.
That might not be too bad, actually. It's interesting to me in thinking about this long career, especially because, like, in thinking about, I have this, you know, kind of long history of hearing music from you and hearing all these different kind of styles and a variety of different kind of changes. It's almost like they're different Bart Davenports, in some ways, that, you know, there's kind of a like a more kind of like 60s and mod kind of phase, and one that's maybe a little bit more soul inflected and a little bit more on the 70s side, a little bit more kind of softer kind of ballads and rock. There's like a lot of different styles that you've been involved in. And I was wondering if you do you feel like you have a particular kind of sound or a particular kind of style?
I think I do as a writer. I mean, anyone who's done, you know, any analyzation of my writing would hear lots of major seventh chords, which are, for non-musicians, that doesn't mean anything. But for people who play music who might have stopped to analyze the way I write, they'd hear a lot of recurring themes throughout my whole writing career. Even back to The Loved Ones, there was a couple of those songs that were hinting towards that. And that's the influence of kind of pop, 60s pop songwriting, like Burt Bacharach, Carole King, some of the Motown writers, you know, that's that style, really. And then just as far as the way the songs are delivered and presented, yeah, it's been pretty eclectic, a mix of influences and kind of different types of production in the recording studio and things. For that, yeah, I feel like I have a lot of different voices, just kind of growing up with so many different influences, you know, and kind of always wanting to walk this line, you know, between the soul, R&B, blues world and rock music and folk music and all that. It's kind of why I always identified really strongly with Arthur Lee, because he was doing that too, in within songs, even. And whenever I heard him, I always felt like I really could identify with his frame of mind, or at least my perceived idea of his twisted frame of mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, and, you know, as far as the thing of being sort of eclectic, where this like, oh, you did blues, you did folk, you did pop, you did this electro thing on the thing, it's just, I don't know, I've been around a long time. Of course I should keep experimenting and trying different things and staying really engaged.
When you were talking about, you know, all these kind of different influences, and some of those influences certainly I think came out on the previous record where you did a number of covers, and it seemed like quite a few of them, I mean, there was a Arthur Lee and Love cover on there. Quite a few of them were kind of, you know, very much kind of paying tribute to inspirations. And a lot of really a lot of almost all of your career, you spent it in the Bay Area. And it seems like, it would seem like the Bay Area was a really big part of your identity. Some of the things you've already said here, a lot of kind of this very varied kind of musical background is very much connected to kind of growing up in the Bay Area and all the music, different styles of music that are around in there, and the kind of freedom to explore a variety of different styles, which a lot of other scenes, you know, you just don't have. But now you're here in Los Angeles, and I was wondering about that move, because it seems like there have actually been quite a few Bay Area musicians kind of making that move down to Los Angeles. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the reasons why.
Well, there's an undeniable migration that's been happening for the past couple of years. And I definitely would say that I'm part of that. And anyone that wants to follow the stories can just go look up the press in the Bay Area, because they're all acting like the sky is falling, because some of the musicians that they have come to know or have left town. And they're blaming the tech boom and all this. And it's just a very loaded topic, and one that I don't even know if I'm an authority on necessarily. But I'd say that in my case, I didn't actually leave the Bay because my rent was getting to be too high and I couldn't afford to stay. I didn't leave the Bay because there's too many techies and yuppies there now. I didn't leave the Bay for any other reason other than I just spent my whole life there, and I was just seeking some change for a while. I just wanted a change of scenery. I wanted to go somewhere else and get some new influences and see some new things. And I was very drawn to Los Angeles because the music scene here is so great, and because there is a, it feels like both geographically and metaphorically, there just seems to be room to breathe here.
Mm.
And the Bay Area has gotten a bit crowded and tight. But I'll always love the Bay. I didn't really necessarily leave wholeheartedly. I mean, it's, I go back there like every 6 weeks or something. And I play up there all the time.
Yeah.
And I still have all my friends up there. I try and see them and stay in touch. I mean, it's I'm as interested as anyone else in that whole debate about the changes that are happening in San Francisco in particular. I'm interested in that story, but I'm not really interested in voicing much of my opinion on what's going on because I just don't feel like I'm an authority on that. But it is interesting, and it's undeniable that there is a huge migration that has happened, and some people have been more outward about their reasons for going. I mean, just like I said, for me, it was just a personal choice. But I love both L.A., San Francisco. They're both great.
Yeah. Have you found, I mean, you've been living here in Los Angeles for like the last couple of years now? Around then?
Yeah, I moved 2 years ago.
Okay. Was Physical World written down here or was it written up there? Most of the songs?
You know, I think about half and half.
Half and half. Was there, did you feel like there was any kind of change all in your kind of songwriting or, you know, did the kind of move from the Bay down here, do you feel like that influenced things at all?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, lyrically, I just started writing about things that were happening. And they were happening here.
Okay.
You're just using anything you can to tell a little story and have this little world that exists within the 3 minutes of the song. And some of it is fiction and some of it is nonfiction. Some of it is just words that sound pretty. It's just whatever it takes to paint the picture that you like.
How would you characterize these songs that are on Physical World? There's the songs, the kind of images that they evoke are really like vibrant images. They're really strong images, and it changes from song to song, but there does seem to be some themes on the record, and I was wondering if you could talk about them.
Yeah, I mean, when I went to look at it as it was coming together and you start sequencing the songs and coming up with this image for the album cover where I'm portrayed as this cartoon comic book superhero.
Yeah.
And it just fits so well because it seems to be about the balance between reality and the fantasy world. And I've always looked at songs as a fantasy world that you're creating within the 3 minutes. So, and today with technology, we're doing so many things that are just so surreal. You're having like a conversation with 10 different people on Facebook. And it's as if we're all in this room together having this talk, but none of us are actually physically together. And or you're getting to follow someone's whole vacation, and you're not there with them in Greece and Italy, but you're following it, and it's just this almost this strange way in which fantasy and reality are starting to get so blurred. And I wanted to talk about that in that song, Physical World, that really, when it comes down to it, we still are relying on the real, raw, physical world for something that we think of as completely ethereal, like love. But it really does have to do with being physically present and having relationships with other human beings. And those emotions that you feel are actually part of your brain chemistry. And that's all, and that's all real. So it seems to be that there is this theme then about reality versus fantasy.
Yeah.
This on your own planet, physical world, dust in the circuits of love. Somehow it just keeps coming up again, this thing about your fantasies versus what's really going on.
Yeah. And, you know, this sort of relates to a conversation we kind of started before we actually started setting up for all this, that when we were having it, I actually was thinking, was like, oh, you know, even brings like another kind of wrinkle to the whole, you know, possibilities of the physical world with this record. And we were talking about just the kind of changes that have happened, you know, especially in our lives. We're both kind of like children of the 70s.
Yeah.
And we have these like really like tangible relationships with the music, especially music that we buy, you know, a lot of it on vinyl or, you know, some of it on cassettes and CDs, and how this present era of kind of like digital technology and digital music, just the kind of changes that happen with that and the different ways that people experience things and how some of it is seemingly it allows for a greater experience, but then some of it seems like it takes away from the experience as well, right?
Yeah, and I loved the idea of calling the album Physical World because it's both a physical and a digital release.
Mm-hmm.
And this stuff is both ethereal and tangible, and it's a world within the record and everything. So I just liked the imagery that came with that song. And the song was written years ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was that's one of the few songs on the record that I'd been sitting on for years. I kind of had it in my back pocket. I was waiting for the right time to do it.
And now that you're kind of, or at least in this moment, like dedicated full-time to your own music, is it a situation where you're already starting to write other songs? I mean, I know this like record just came out, but are you already writing more songs and kind of, because one of the things also, you know, you look at this career is pretty prolific in terms of recordings as well, you know?
Whenever I have a big block of spare time, I just try and write more songs, and a lot of them no one's ever going to hear. it's something you just have to keep at and keep doing it, and also edit yourself and just keep trying to make up tunes. And I hope that this just keeps me busy for the rest of my life. I'd like to just keep trying to learn how to do this and improve on it. And I feel as if this kind of song, I know that there are variations and that people hear me as some sort of eclectic artist, but for me, they're pop songs, and I'm trying to make interesting pop songs. And I want to keep trying to do that, and I feel like there's just endless possibilities.
That's great.
With where those can go.
Yeah.
I mean, when you've got all these different chords and different topics, and love is just such an easy one. The breakup songs, the getting together songs, the things are kind of weird right now songs. I mean, it's just an endless source right there. But yeah. Then there's other things. There's just life.
Yeah.
So I don't ever want to stop doing this. So, yeah, but I do feel sometimes a little resentful that I seem to be so caught up in the business side of my so-called career that I'm not giving enough time to one of the most important aspects, which is writing songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I am my own manager. So there I am spending whole days trying to manage this artist. And then I almost forget that that artist is me.
Mm.
And so if any managers out there, give me a call. Email me. I'm thebartdavenport@gmail.com, and let's talk.
It's been great talking with you today, Bart. I really appreciate you coming in, man. And could we get you to play a couple more songs?
Let's do a couple more songs.
All right, fantastic. We've been talking with Bart Davenport here at KPFK, and we're going to throw it to him for a couple more songs. ¶¶
in the changes well. We're in the changes well. It's been forever. Good to see you're still clever. Turning the pages well. Turning the pages well. Hello, closed eye. Nice to see you rest sometimes. Wearing shades inside. Wearing shades inside. Now don't stop doing whatever you're doing. Something's so right. Don't stop doing whatever you're doing. Something's so right. Give me half a chance to know which way to go. I know that I'm true. I believe in the things that I do. When we danced
last night couldn't have been more real or right. So we can take it day by day and be okay. And every little step of mine should be fine. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
That's going to close up the show. The interview and performance from Bart Davenport, recorded just a little while ago in April of this year. He's actually performing here in Los Angeles on June 4th, along with Luke Sweeney over at Harvard and Stone. All of the performances and interviews that you heard in today's show are available on our website, meltingpotblog.com, under the section called Be Our Guest. And I hope you'll also become a fan of the show on Facebook, facebook.com/meltingpotradio. Big thanks to Stan Mizrahi and Mark Maxwell, who were the engineers for all of those performances, as well as all the artists who came in. And we'll see what year number 5 holds. Folk Scene is up next. I will see you when I see you. Y'all take care.